FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is April 11th, 2016, and it's earnings season. Good for some, but bad for many, that's for sure. With us, John Rubino, dollarcollapse.com. John, good morning, happy Monday, and happy earnings season.
Morning, Kerry. Yeah, that's the big story now, because corporate earnings have been falling in the U.S. for the past year. And the Wall Street estimates of this current earnings season are pretty horrendous. They're for a drop of like 9% year over year, which would be, that's catastrophic from the point of view of equity investors. You know, the stock market really doesn't like corporate earnings dropping at a near double-digit rate. That would terrify everybody. They probably won't come in quite that badly, but the consensus is for them to be pretty bad. And obviously, the biggest driver of that is energy companies. You know, they're going to have really tough comparisons year over year because the product that they sell is down by about half in the past year. So, but even taking them out, you have a lot of other sectors where it looks like there's going to be a pretty decent year over year drop in earnings. And banking is the big one because up until just lately, falling interest rates were considered to be a good thing for banks because it lowers banks' funding costs. And so then they can lend out that cheap or free money at something, you know, and make a spread and presumably make money. But it's not working out that way in a world of flat or zero to negative interest rates, because apparently you get to a point where falling rates are actually bad for banks because it's causing yield curves around the world to flatten. In other words, long-term interest rates are going down faster than short-term interest rates now, and that hurts banks' business models. Plus, you can't really trade these markets anymore because they're hard to manipulate. It used to be that in an era of relative stability, Goldman Sachs' trading desk can put a bet on and then manipulate the market to make that bet profitable. Well, when things get too volatile, because interest rates are at levels that defy past mathematical relationships, and then things just start bouncing around randomly, these bank trading desks don't make any money anymore. So they're losing money on investment banking and prop trading and on their lending books. And it's just an ugly, ugly world for the big banks right now. And plus, you got Bernie Sanders running on breaking the big banks up and people taking him seriously. So the banks are looking pretty grim right now around the world. And there's a rumor that the Italian banks, which were the worst performing banking sector in the whole world, which is really saying something, that they're going to get bailed out this week. And so their stocks are up. Italian bank stocks are up. But that's, you know, that's not a good thing in the general scheme of things, because where's the money going to come from? You know, is the Italian government going to borrow trillions of euros to bail out its dysfunctional, moribund banking sector? And if they do, what does that do to their finances? And what does that do to the eurozone, et cetera, et cetera? You know, there are a lot of secondary effects to a big European bank bailout that are pretty much grim across the board. So that's where we are right now. And so in the coming couple of weeks, we'll see a lot of banks report earnings and other companies. And so we'll see how those earnings match up to expectations. It's possible that expectations are now so low that corporate profits will be seen to beat expectations. And that might even be seen as a good thing for equity investors. But that would mean that the stock markets are really, really gullible. You know, if you come in negative 6%, but Wall Street was expecting negative 8%, that's still not a good thing. That's still negative 6%. So, John, we'll have to see how that goes.
You know, you accuse Goldman Sachs of basically criminal activity. And if it was anyone else but a big bank, I might take issue with you. But just today, they were slapped with a $5.1 billion fine for serious misconduct in mortgage selling. So this just keeps going on and on. Wells Fargo, they got hit for $1.2 billion. I mean, our banking industry seems to be just one big kleptocracy combined with the political levers of power. You combine those two together, And how can a bank lose?
Isn't that funny? You can call Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan Chase and Citigroup criminal organizations and be legally within your rights because the paper trail is so huge. You know, they have admitted to crime after crime after crime over the past decade and paid huge fines. And you know, to them, this is like protection money in the mafia. You know, you pay it to the government in order to continue to do business as usual. And for the big banks, this is chump change. You know, even a few billion dollars for Goldman Sachs is a fraction of the profits that they generated through a lot of these questionable business practices over the past decade. So they're still net profitable, even after paying all this stuff. You know, they're still making money on their operations, and none of them are going to jail. You know, what is really disturbing about this is that banks are not living entities. They're just structures within which people do stuff. And so a bank can't commit a crime. Yeah. Only the people within the bank can actually commit a crime. And so when you find a bank for doing something illegal, that means specific guys sitting in specific offices reporting to specific executives did criminal acts. And we don't know who they are. They're not going to jail. They're not even being named. And that we're going to look back on that as the really strange part of this overall very strange time.
Yeah, the names have been changed to protect the guilty. It's downright criminal, but nothing we haven't seen before. And yeah, they've pleaded guilty to felony after felony. And like you say, you can't put a corporation in jail as much as you might like to. You can do other sanctions like fine them, like liquidate them, forced sale, force out their board, force out their higher ranking leaders. And yet none of that, John, has ever been done in the past 10 years, almost 10 years that this crisis has been going on, 8 years anyway.
And Carrie, you know why not? Eric Holder, the Attorney General under Barack Obama, came out and explained why they're not doing that, because they're afraid that going after the executives who committed the crimes would destabilize the banking system. Yeah. And so basically what they're saying is the banks are or banking executives are immune to prosecution because the banks have gotten so big that you can't mess with them anymore. They're now the aristocracy. A different set of rules apply to them. And, you know, if that's not the best possible reason and all the reason that you need to impose antitrust rules on the big banks and break them up and turn, you know, Citigroup into seven different little Citigroups and then send them out into the world to rise or fall on their own merits and decisions without any kind of systemic risk. I don't know what is, you know, because if you can't put a senior derivatives trader at Goldman Sachs in jail for committing crimes on his trading desk, then basically these guys are free to really let fly. They can do anything they want to, reap the fees in the short run, and then know that even if the crimes they've committed come to light, they'll never be named, they'll never be prosecuted, and the bank will pay a little bit of protection money and business as usual will go on. And that's basically the message that we've sent these guys. And they understand the message very clearly. So that's why their derivatives books are bigger now than they were in 2007 when they almost blew up the global financial system.
And here's a question for you, John. Are they basically setting up another housing collapse? With loosening standards up, you know, the feds are telling them to do this. The banks are just basically branch offices of the U.S. government, let's face it, of the Fed. That's what it comes down to. When you get right down to it, they don't have an independent corporeal existence separate and apart from the U.S. government. I think that's one reason they can't really prosecute these guys, because they were, in point of fact, just following orders.
Well, yeah, I think you could make the case that it's all one big organization. You know, the federal government, the Federal Reserve, and the big banks are basically one entity with the overriding goal of increasing its own power. So, yeah, they're not going to have one division prosecute another division or prosecute the people within the other division. That wouldn't make any sense, because that's not how organizations work. You know, they do what they have to do to keep doing what they want to do. And that means they'll pay some fines once in a while, but they're not going to send their own people to jail.
Mm-hmm. So there you have it. The vested interest in the powers that be of keeping the scam going.
And, Which is basically what the Constitution was set up to avoid. You know, we had a division of powers, separation of powers among the different parts of the government in order to keep any one part from becoming all powerful. But they've basically done a merger at some point, and only the courts now are outside of the umbrella of the big organization that has emerged. And even the courts are kind of questionable. You know, they're all political appointees one way or another. And yes, so there's a fairly good chance that the courts are going to be brought into this umbrella very soon. And then it's all one big thing, you know, and then we're kind of lost at that point.
Yeah, well, we could be lost already and just not know it. But the fact of the matter is, no change, no hope and no change is what it comes down to. And just wait till the earnings season comes in. The only thing, John, is you definitely have a flow of funds from Asia and from Europe into the U.S. And for us mere mortals, it's really difficult to measure that. We do see that the Japanese yen has broken out recently, which has been good for gold, bad for the dollar. But the fact is, safe haven, all that, you know, the money's still flowing here. But for another day to discuss, so find John's work over at dollarcollapse.com. As always, you'll find a link to John's site on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. And we will talk to you next week. John, be well.
Great. Thanks, Carrie. You too.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.